Hey guys, thanks for hitting play on this episode of the Branding Business School podcast. I am recovering from an incredible weekend in Nashville, Tennessee. We just got back from our third annual designer retreat where me and a bunch of girls went down to Nashville for an extended glorified girls' night out. We're actually going to be dropping the retreat recap episode next week for you guys. So sit tight next Wednesday. Myself and all of my designers are coming on to tell you guys, how we felt the retreat went. But this week, I wanted to reshare an episode that originally aired in 2022. This has always been one of our most downloaded episodes, and I can understand why. We're going to talk about 5 ways to get your customers to become brand ambassadors for your business, aka get your customers to market your business for you to save you money and accelerate your growth. I know you guys are going to love it. Without further ado, let's get into it.
This is the Branding Business School podcast, the go-to business and marketing podcast for ambitious women looking to start and scale profitable businesses. Learn from your host, Victoria Marcoulier, how to build a powerhouse brand in this online era without sacrificing your sanity or misplacing your priorities. We support the dreamers and the disruptors and are showing up weekly to teach you practical advice on what it takes to become the go-to in your industry. Operating an online business as a female entrepreneur looks different these days, and thanks to us, so does business school. Welcome to the Branding Business School podcast.
There's a lot of emphasis on the power of paid ads or the power of email marketing, the power of a strategically designed website, and so on. And while, of course, these are all incredibly powerful tools that we utilize every single day in our own marketing strategy, nothing compares to the power of a referral from a friend. A trusted friend sharing their preference on a product or a brand will always be considered more highly than even the most strategically crafted marketing message. I'm going to reference this book, The Marketing Rebellion by Mark Schaefer, quite a bit in this episode because I read that book about a year and a half ago, and a lot of the principles from that book have really stuck with me. So in this book, Mark suggests that 2/3 of our marketing is our customers, not our actual marketing. So hear this, my fellow entrepreneur who currently wears all of the hats, including that of the chief marketing officer. Your marketing team is your customer base. Maybe that's a bit of relief if you feel like you've been slacking on the marketing. It's so powerful that your customers become your ambassadors. And if you do a good job, which hopefully I'm going to help you understand how to do that in this episode, your customer base, as that grows, so too does your marketing team. And then therefore your business grows exponentially as well. And if you think about it, honestly, it makes sense. Like, who do people trust? We trust each other, right? A brand's power heavily rests in the hands of its consumers. So how do we make sure that our customers love us and that they want to tell their friends about us? I'm going to give you 5 ways to do just that. Number 1 in how to ensure that your customers love you and become your marketing team, back up your promises. The number 1 way to turn somebody off and make them an instant hater of your brand is to promise something and not deliver on it. So if you promise 3-day shipping, that product better be there in 3 days. If you promise that they'll love their website before they launch it, like we do, you better do everything you can to make sure that they love it before it launches. So you guys get the idea there. Don't make claims on your website or in your marketing material that you are not actually able to deliver on. Follow through really matters here. We've all heard the term like a snake oil salesman, right? And I found this story so interesting. Again, it was from the book, The Marketing Rebellion. And he talked about how that was an actual scandal that went on and how there was this actual product for snake oil and it was called the Elixir of Life. And they made all of these, outrageous marketing claims that, it had medicinal properties and healing power. And it ended up being that it was just a totally worthless concoction, and they called it the first great American fraud. So this scam, which now, we still are referencing decades later, it was just one of thousands and thousands of other examples of companies who made extraordinary claims about their product and then didn't back them up. Whether it was intentional or not, it happens all the time. And because of that, customers are skeptical. And that's normal, right? Like you and I, if we just come back to us all as humans, like we are skeptical. I don't buy something just because I read a great headline on a website. Like, I'm gonna do a little bit more research. I want to learn about the brand. I want to see what other people have to say about their experience of it. So make sure that you are not creating a snake oil brand, right? That you're not putting out promises that you don't fully intend to and that you aren't able to deliver on. When you overpromise and underdeliver, you're forgetting that the customer is the most important ambassador for your brand. So if you say what you need to say to get it sold, and then you don't worry about how the rest plays out, you're forgetting about all of those people that they're going to turn against your brand. So don't make this costly mistake. It's not just about sales, getting people in the door. If you do this the right way and you grow a little bit more slowly, maybe because you're actually taking the time to deliver on all of your promises, your marketing team is going to grow faster and allow you to grow much, much faster down the road. So it's definitely worth it to not overpromise and underdeliver, but to actually do the opposite, to promise what you can deliver on and then go above and beyond and give them a little bit more than that. Now, the second way to get your customers to do your marketing for you is to put a focus on customer experience. Delivering on your promises is step one, but creating loyal brand fans who market your business goes so much further beyond that. Really, step one is just about making sure they don't hate you. So now that we've done that, we have to learn how to make them love us, right? So the best way to do this is to put a major focus on the customer experience. We talk about client experience a lot on this podcast because it's a huge part of my mission at Brandwell. It's something that we are literally always trying to improve on a daily basis with our own client experience. And whether you sell a product or a service, there are always ways to enhance your client's experience. So for product-based businesses, are your prices fair? Is your packaging professional and branded? Is your shipping time fast? Are your products good quality? Do you incentivize your buyers to buy again with coupon codes? For service-based businesses, are you giving each client a personalized experience? Are you accommodating to your client's schedules? Are you providing a welcome packet or a video that outlines what the process of working with you will look like? Do you send a thank you gift when you're all done? Is the process working with you easy? Like, right there, I just gave you so many ideas of how you can put a little bit more emphasis on giving a positive client experience. Every time my team and I get together for a Brandwell retreat, we reevaluate our client experience and we come up with ways to improve it. And I want to share an example of something that we're currently working on to drastically improve our client's experience with Brandwell. We haven't even announced this yet, so keep this a secret with me. But one of the areas that we felt we were under-delivering a bit in was post-launch. So after we delivered a brand or a website, you know, we would say our goodbyes and that was kind of it. Like we had just spent weeks or months working together with the client. And then once we handed over the reins, it just kind of felt like, okay, bye-bye. Like, we loved working with you. And it wasn't that we owed them more than that, right? Like, clients hired us for branding or web design. And once we delivered that, it was normal and natural to part ways, but it just felt a bit anticlimactic. So we developed a program called Launch Well that we are going to get to put all of our branding and website clients through to help them promote their brand or their website launch with confidence and in a way that's going to get them the best results possible. So it's such an exciting thing to finally have a brand that you love or a stunning website that shows off your professionalism. But if you don't know how to market it, you kind of just like take it live and that's it. So even though we're a design company, we felt that equipping our clients with the knowledge that they needed and the tools that they needed to promote their brand or their website, even after we had already delivered it, that was like incredibly important to their overall client experience working with Brandwell. So that is one of the ways that we are really trying to enhance our client experience from start to finish. So now that you have all these examples, what can you do to emphasize customer experience in your business? So the very first thing, make sure that you are delivering on your promises. Second thing, put a huge focus on your customer's experience. Number three, be a human and treat your customers like a human. It sounds obvious, right? But companies make this mistake all of the time. Even small businesses and solopreneurs can often forget about the human-to-human connection that we once valued, but then we lost that to the art of automation. And I'm all for streamlining processes and using automations where possible in business, but just be careful not to take the humanity and the personality out of your brand in doing so. So another example of how we're trying to do a better job of this at Brandwell is in the forms and the questionnaires that we send to our website clients. So, you know, piecing together a 10-page website is a lot of work and it requires a lot on our clients' behalf. You know, they have to share a lot of content with us. And this was a process we definitely wanted to automate for efficiency's sake. But in doing so, we did kind of feel like we were losing some of that personal connection of gathering content from a client and even helping them through the process of writing content for their website. So we've recently updated all of our copy forms and our questionnaires with a little video of me walking them through exactly what's needed and guiding them through this process to make it as easy as possible. And I mentioned today's sponsor was HoneyBook. This is all made possible by HoneyBook. They recently came out with something called Smart Files, and we love them because when we are asking for a client to send us homepage copy, we don't just send them a Google Doc so they can stare at a blinking cursor. We send them this like really beautiful branded questionnaire that has a header that says, you know, homepage copy form. And then right before it says, before you begin, watch this video. And they click play and there it is. It's like a 3-minute video of me sharing my screen, kind of coaching them through how to write copy for their homepage. And then as they scroll down to start completing the questionnaire, we even provide examples of a headline, a call to action, services, a value statement. We provide examples of all of these things within the form. So even though they're technically the ones writing the copy, it's really a done with you service. And the Smart Files in HoneyBook have been just a huge godsend to us. Again, you know that they are the sponsor of this episode, but I did just kind of want to share some practical ways that like we are utilizing it to up-level our clients' experience. So just don't forget that people are far more likely to be loyal to other people than they are to a product. So wherever you can add more of those like human touches, like more video calls, more text messaging, even if it's through like a Google Voice phone number that you have to sign up for, anything like that, that is going to increase that loyalty to your brand because people connect to other people. Number 4, make it easy for your customers to share about your business. Quick break to tell you guys about today's sponsor, which is HoneyBook. You guys know I love me some HoneyBook. This has been the CRM of BrandWell for 3.5 years, almost from day one, you guys. And I don't know how we would be operating without it. So HoneyBook is a client flow platform that was designed specifically for the modern business owner. I think it's ideally made for the modern day service provider. From the initial inquiry to the final payment, you can literally do everything in HoneyBook. They manage our proposals, our contracts, our invoicing, our financial reports, and then most importantly, our client communication back and forth. Everything is streamlined in one place that I can log into and see where a project is at any given time. All of my team can log in. You can give people different permissions and roles based on what their unique role is on the project at hand. It's just an awesome platform. Go check it out. I have a 50% off discount code for you if you want to try out HoneyBook your first year at 50% off. We'll link it in the show notes for you. Just try it. It's amazing. So if you've done steps 1 through 3, you've delivered on your promises, you've created a great experience for your customer, you've developed a human-to-human connection with your clients are probably ready and willing to share your business with their friends, but you have to make it easy for them. So if you sell a product, you know, make the packaging so shareable that they can't resist posting on Instagram, and better yet, like have a little line of text on there that says, you know, tag us at whatever it is, BrandWell Designs, whatever it is. We do that whenever we send little client gifts. It says, show us what you got, and it has our little Instagram handle there. We just want to make things fun and exciting and almost in a way that they like can't help but share because they feel like they're part of something so special and so unique. That's what you want to do for your customers in making it easy for them to share about your business. You know, again, if you have a service-based business, offer a referral incentive if they choose to tell their friends about you. We do this all the time. Sometimes clients are like, oh, I have a friend who might be interested in working with you. And I'm always like, hey, send them my way. If they book, I'll send you a little thank you. And I do. So let them know how important referrals are to your business, and then just simply ask if they'd be willing to share their positive experience with anyone they know who might be in need of fill in the blank, whatever your product or your service is. That's not pushy. Again, doing steps 1 through 3 is going to make sure that step 4 doesn't come across as pushy. If you are not delivering on your promises, if you have kind of a subpar client experience, and if you are automating everything and there are very few like touch points with an actual person-to-person connection in your relationship, it's probably going to be a little bit more of an uphill battle to get people to share about your business. But again, this is assuming you've done these 3 things well, and now you just need to make it easy for them to share by, you know, providing really shareable content and then asking for it. Another thing that we are doing in our Launch Well kit is we are going to be providing custom designed social media graphics for them to share their brand or their website, because they want to do that anyways. A lot of times they're going into Canva and they're trying to create their own. So we're going to save them time and just create it for them. And in doing so, they're naturally not only sharing their new design that they're excited about and promoting their own business, but they're also promoting our business. So how can you give deliverables to your client to make it easy for them to promote their business and yours? And lastly, number 5, ask for the review. Guys, I did an entire episode on how to get rave reviews from customers to boost sales in episode 44 of the podcast, which I will link for you in the show notes. So I'm not going to camp out here for too long, but I will give you a few important tips. When you ask for a review matters. So don't ask for the review prematurely, and certainly don't ask for it too late. I can't tell you how many times I've received an email from a company that I purchased from like months earlier asking for a review. And honestly, I am so far moved on from that purchase. I would never take the time to do it, even if I had a good experience and if I liked the product. We have such short attention spans for things like this that if you're not asking at the most appropriate time, your likelihood of getting a review from that customer is going to go way, way down. So ideally, you want to ask right after they've received their product or their service. So if they are getting a package in the mail, send a review request after you see that it's been delivered. If you're a wedding photographer, ask for the review after you've delivered their gallery and they send you an email back with like 7 billion hard-eyed emojis. Like, that is the best time. They're so excited. They love you because you just, you know, exceeded their expectations with what you delivered. Ask then. Don't ask on their wedding day, obviously. Don't ask at an inappropriate time. Ask at an appropriate time that's really relevant to when they are getting the most out of their product or service that you deliver to them. So when you ask matters, but how you ask matters as well. You want to keep the request short, sweet, and personalized. So for service-based business owners, the person delivering the service, in my opinion, should always be the one to ask, like whoever has the most connection to that client. This is really something that we've refined over the last few years with Brandwell. You know, when I started the company, I was, of course, always the one having all those touch points with clients, and I was the one asking for the reviews, and most people would leave one when I asked, but then as I started to build out my team, it just got a little bit harder, right? Because I would sell them on, but then they would work with my team for 6 weeks, and then I would still ask for the review, and it was kind of like, well, why is she asking? I haven't talked to her in a few weeks, you know? So we kind of refined our process where now the person delivering the service, so the brand designer who's working with them for 4 weeks at a time to build a stunning brand, or the website designer who's working with them for a month or two to build a stunning website, that person who's built this connection to the client over the last X amount of weeks is going to be the one to ask for the review. Because people, again, we're far more loyal to people than we are to a product. So if they feel connected to you and they like you because you've done everything in steps 1 through 3, then they probably are willing to do it, but you have to ask and you have to make it easy for them in how you ask. So I have my designers always reach out to our clients unless I feel like I have a really special relationship to that client. Maybe it was a friend of mine or somebody I've worked with in the industry. Then I might still ask occasionally for a review. But something else that we learned through trial and error and a little bit of like A/B testing is don't overwhelm somebody in asking for a review. We used to have our designers send out an email upon delivery of their website and say like, hey, like here's your website. Here are all the training videos. Thanks so much for working with us. we loved it. They would give kind of maybe 3 or 4 paragraphs worth of information about the delivery of their website. And then they're saying their farewells. And then it was like a postscript, like, also, would you mind taking a few minutes to leave us a review on our Google page? And we started to see that the percentage of people actually following through and leaving a review was going down. And I think we were just overwhelming them with things to do, right? It's like, hey, accept our contributor invitation to your website. Hey, watch these training videos. Hey, I'm leaving after we've just spent the last 2 months together. And by the way, would you leave a review? So we decided, you know what, that's not the ideal time to ask for the review. We need to deliver the website. We need to make sure that they've logged in, that they understand what they're doing, that they're so excited, everything is live, and then follow up with a 1-paragraph email at most, just saying like, hey, we are so glad you love your website. Thank you again for working with us. If you have 2 minutes to spare today, would you head on over to our Google page and leave us a review and tell us about your experience working with Brandwell? So when you ask matters, how you ask matters, keeping it short and sweet matters, like provide the link to where you need the review, specify how long it will take, and ask them what you want them to share. This makes a difference. We have gotten so many wonderful, wonderful reviews, even just for, I think, explaining like, hey, would you share your experience with us? It's not like just people going to our Google page and just leaving a 5-star review with no comment. We are having people write paragraphs and paragraphs about, you know, how they had maybe come from a bad experience with a previous web designer and Brandwell came in, and from the first call to all the meetings and, you know, to going through the revision process, like they were just blown away. Now they have this website that's helping them get more leads and they feel confident. I mean, it's incredible. I like get teary-eyed when I go and read our reviews because I know how busy everybody is these days. And to take time to write a review for somebody else's business is typically not at the top of people's to-do list. But I believe that we are doing 1 through 3 really well. I believe we're delivering on our promises. I believe that we are putting a huge focus on our customer experience. I believe that we are, you know, treating people like humans and we're allowing them to see us as humans, and not everything is like such a business transaction, right? Like we get excited with our clients. We get frustrated with our clients. Like we let them feel all those emotions. We let them tell us. We always say, because we are in like the design world where sometimes you have to share feedback that is not positive, you know, like they might not love their initial logos. But we always say like, hey, we welcome that, please. Like we want you to love this at the end of the day. And the only way to get there is for you to be honest with us. And that can be hard for clients and for the designer, right? Because the designer has to hear maybe some negative things about concepts that they loved and they designed. And the client typically doesn't want to say anything bad about the designer's work because she knows that a lot of hours were put into that. But we know that honesty matters, and allowing them to be humans and allowing us to be human too, I think has really allowed us to get the experience that people are leaving on our Google review page. Like you guys can stop and go check it out. I'm not making this up. It's like review after review after review. It's really, really incredible. And your business can have that too. You just have to put a huge focus on these things. So the last thing too, in asking for reviews, don't be afraid to follow up. If we know we have a happy customer and we've asked for the review and they didn't leave it, we always follow up and ask again. And sometimes we ask a third time. So following up doesn't have to be pushy. Just acknowledge that we're all busy, you know, emphasize how much it would mean to you if they took the 2 minutes to leave a review online. And then in some cases too, you can sometimes exchange reviews. You know, like if I recently we worked with a copywriter who will be coming on the podcast here very soon, Nikki with Clarity Branding Co. And she had hired us to design her a beautiful brand and a website. And I also worked with her to write some copy for our Launchwell kit. And, you know, she asked me for a review and I asked her for one. And it was kind of like, hey, I'll leave you one if you leave me one. And that worked out great. Now, you don't want to go and leave reviews for businesses that you've never been like a recipient of the product or a service. That's really not like authentic. It's not what the Google review system was made for. But in a lot of cases, if you have the type of business where you're mutually benefiting from each other's services, then you should say, hey, like I would love to leave you a review. Would you mind doing the same for me? You know, from small business owner to small business owner, if you serve B2B, which we do, then that's a great way to get reviews as well. So that is it, friends. That is 5 ways to create a brand people want to buy from, to get your customers to do your marketing for you. And hey, while we're on the topic of reviews, Would you take 20 seconds to review this podcast on iTunes or Spotify? I know that's a shameless plug right there, but if you don't practice what you preach, you will never see the results. And that is an area I'm desperately trying to get some more reviews on. I forget to ask a lot with the podcast because it's not something where I at least get that human to human. You guys get to listen to me talk for, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes at a time, but I don't always get to see who's listening. All I can see are the stats of how many downloads each episode gets. And I know it's hundreds of you. So if just a couple of you would be willing to take the 20 seconds and leave a quick 5-star review or share what you like about the podcast or maybe what your favorite episode was, that would mean so much to me. And I hope you enjoyed another episode of the podcast. I will see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Business School podcast. If you're looking to take your business to the next level, subscribe to the podcast and we'll continue to cheer you on week after week by giving you practical advice on how to build your brand. For show notes or to learn more about what we covered in today's episode, head to thebrandingbusinessschool.com/podcast. And remember, you don't need an MBA to be the CEO